Leviticus chapter 4, the sin offering. Now in the burnt offering, you'll remember, I'm sure, that rather than the body of the sacrifice being treated as it is in the sin offering, it was all the body of the bullock was burned on the altar, whether it was a bullock or sheep or goat, whatever it was, in the burnt offering, it was all went up to the Lord in an expression of the absolute devotedness of our Lord Jesus Christ and love to His Father and His delight in accomplishing His will in sanctifying the people. All of the body was burned upon the altar of burnt offering, a holy place. That's not the case in the sin offering, and we'll come to that as we go along here. Now, you'll also notice that if the priest that is anointed, and that is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the anointed great high priest of the Church of God, if the priest that is anointed do sin, it is the same as if the whole congregation had sinned. That we'll find that in verse 13 there. If we'd read on from verse 13 down to things about verse 7, maybe it's verse 19. Anyway, it goes on down until where if a ruler of the people do sin, the offering for the whole congregation and the offering for the priest that is anointed do sin. If the man standing in office for the people sin, it is the same as if the whole congregation had sinned. And certainly that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ bearing all the sins of all of the children of God of all the ages of time. The whole congregation, all those sins were imputed to Him, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all, Him being the anointed high priest. He bare our sin in His own body on the tree that we, being dead to sin, might serve the living God. And not only that, but the blood of the testament purges our conscience from dead works, it being the blood of sprinkling to New Testament believers. Now let's look at these verses here for just for a little bit. And I hope you're comfortable this morning. This may take just a little while. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance. Now turn to Numbers chapter 15, verse 30. Now we are certainly incompetent to deal with sin before our Lord. He it is who has dealt with and put away our sins forever according to His own knowledge and His purpose and grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. He put away our knowing sins, sins that we have known, sins of ignorance, all of our sins, sins past, present, and future, every sin, as Christ Jesus put away by the sacrifice of Himself. but presumptuous sins, look at verse 30, chapter 15, verse 30. But the soul that doth ought presumptuously. Now notice that in Leviticus, always when he's speaking about an individual, he'll say, if the soul. Well, we are souls. God created man and created Adam, and he laid before him a lifeless body, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. We are souls that have a body. You know, according to us, what we think, we are bodies that have a soul, but not so. We are souls to whom is given a body. But the soul that doeth ought presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same that reproacheth the Lord, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. So presumptuous sins, the sin of unbelief, making light of the Lord and his word and his sacrifice that he has set before the world in his Son, those who make light of that is certainly a presumptuous sin, and it is a presumptuous sin to make God a liar. And those who do not believe the report of the gospel do make God a liar. It's a presumptuous sin, and there is no forgiveness for them for those things, not in this world nor in the world to come. If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things that ought not to be done, and shall do them, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin. Now, there, of course, he's speaking of Aaron or his sons, the priest that is anointed, if they should sin. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely incapable of sin. His divine nature has no nature of sin, has no inclination of sin. There is no sin in him. He did no sin. And those who say that he had sin are a mock to God. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, in other words, a sin that the people might have committed, if he does according to that, and especially in this way, if they sin through his teaching, if he taught some error and that caused them to sin, and they did the thing that he taught them, but it was an error. So, as Brother Jerry said, it is an awesome thing to teach others. It really is. And those who do that certainly feel the weight of that anointing or of that burden. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, let him bring for his sin which he hath sinned a young bullock without blemish. That's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. A young bullock pictures our Lord in the azimuth of his strength in his young life, without blemish. There was no blemish, no fault in him whatsoever. Bring a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering, and he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Now this sin offering was offered toward God. The offerings that were offered were Godward. They weren't manward. Man benefited by them, but they were offered to God to make an atonement for man, that there might be peace between God and the man. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay both his hands upon the bullock's head. Now, laying on of hands in the sin offering represents the transference of the sin of the offerer to the bullock. How gracious of the Lord to allow for the sin of the man to be transferred to the head of the bullock, whether it be the priest that was anointed or the whole congregation. They would, and if or the whole congregation, it wasn't just one person, it was the heads of the families that would come and bring and lay their hands upon the head of the bullock, and they would lean all their weight upon the head of the bullock, representing that this bullock carried the weight of their sin. And shall lay his hand upon the head of the bullock, and shall kill the bullock before the Lord. The wages of sin is death. When that sin was imputed to the bullock and transferred to the bullock in the eyes of God, then that bullock must die. In order that the offerer might live. That's the way it is. Our sins were transferred to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He bare them before the holiness of the living God. And He had to die. The law of God finding Him with sin upon Him, even though it was by imputation, yet it was sin and it was upon Him according to the legal transactions of the law and according to the love of God toward His people. He had to die. God so loved the world of His elect that He gave up His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him, and that's by the gift of God. And they're the only ones that do believe is those to whom God puts faith in their hearts. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give all His elect all things? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. While we're justified from all things, we're white as snow in His eyes. We're holy in Christ Jesus' holiness. We are a redeemed people. And we have the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. We know something about what we are and something about what sin is and something about what had to be done in order to redeem us from sin. We're blessed with that knowledge. That's a blessing of God. It's the work of God that we understand that. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Verse 5, and the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it into the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. Now that sanctuary was a representation, and for the time then present was the dwelling place of God in the midst of His people, and the blood sprinkled before the door or the veil of the temple seven times vindicated God's presence in the midst of a sinful people. It atoned for God's dwelling amongst His people. Look at Exodus 25:8. Exodus 25:8. This is according to the desire of God's heart. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. The Lord desires fellowship and to dwell among His people. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, according to the Apostle John. We have fellowship with Him now, and He speaks with us now through the Scripture. And He dwells among us. And His dwelling among us will be much more observable in time to come. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord. That represented the sanctification of the worship of the people. Because there the smoke of the incense that was burned on the altar, on the golden altar, the altar of incense, went up unto the Lord. And that sanctified our worship of the Lord. Which is the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all of the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the burnt offering of the at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, the pouring of the place of the brazen altar was the place of individual approach unto God. So all of the blood was poured out at the foot of the brazen altar, and that sanctified the approach of the people and their worship unto the Lord. And he shall take off all the fat that was upon the bullock for a sin offering, and the fat that covers the inwards, and the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul of the liver, and with the kidneys shall he take away. And it shall, as it was taken off the bullock of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of burnt offerings. Now, that represented those were internal parts, the very tenderest parts, the tender sensibilities of our Lord Jesus Christ. His love in offering himself totally, absolutely, and completely without spot unto God. And it also represents God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, receiving that sacrifice and understanding all of the thoughts and the love that the Lord Jesus expressed in His sanctifying Himself and dedicating Himself to be that sin offering for the people of God. God only could enter into and understand the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as He offered Himself unto God. That those things were for God. They ascended up to God in vapor and smoke off the altar of burnt offering. We'll never understand the love and devotion of the Son to the Father in our place, nor of the Father's receiving of the sacrifice and receiving the testimony of His love and devotion to His glory and purpose that took place at Calvary. Mm. How closely, how intimately has God bound us to Himself in the body and blood and sufferings of His dear Son. our Lord Jesus Christ married our nature and took it into an indissoluble union with Himself to present us perfectly holy, absolutely righteous in the presence of God with His love. And the skin of the bullock with his flesh, his head, with his legs, and his inwards, with his dung. Even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and shall burn him on the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out, shall he be burnt. The action of the fire purified that offering. Burned it to an ash. There was nothing left of the sin that was upon the bullock, and only the ashes were left, and that was a clean place. That represents the fire of the fury of the wrath of God poured out unmingled upon His dearly beloved Son. To purify unto Himself a peculiar people. A people who can hear and understand and love God's electing grace. His predestinating mercy. And knowing themselves that election is God's business. He's the only one that is able to stand on that ground.
Amen.
We never understand it. We ought not even to try. Of course, our minds being what they are, we wonder, why did the Lord choose me? We don't know. That's not our business. That's God's business. He's the chooser, we're the choosee, and we could be so thankful that we are chosen of the Lord. Now, the blood of the sacrifice is our ground for worshiping. We can stand before the presence of the living God on the blood. We can approach Him with full confidence of fellowship in our worship, in our thanksgiving, and in our praises. And our platform is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on which we stand and worship our God. His going forth, them carrying the body of those bullock without the camp is our call to separation from this present evil world and our dedication of ourself in discipleship unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Let's begin reading at verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We do not plant our hopes and our desires on a basis of shifting sand. Our foundation is the Rock of Ages. He never has changed. He never will change. He will never change His mind toward His people. His love for them will never change, and His sanctification of Him through His one offering will never change. We believe because God has put it in us to believe. God has put it in us to desire to believe more and to be more anchored and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing for the heart to be established in grace, in the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of Christ, and not in the elements of the world. Not with meats which have not profited them that have not profited them that have been occupied with them. That's people seeking to serve God by their works under the law. Eating the peace offerings and so on like that. We have an altar. And our altar is in glory. And it's the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. If they seek to serve God through the Old Testament articles, in whatever way, Christ shall profit them nothing. It's either Christ or the law. And that is to say, it's either life or death. One way or the other. You cannot mix works and grace. You can't mix law and grace. You can't mix the law and gospel. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood was brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He fulfilled the type. The type represented him when they carried the body of the bullock out and burned it with fire, representing the fury of the wrath of God poured out on his son without the gate of Jerusalem. Wherefore Jesus also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood suffered without the gate. Now here is our call to separation from this world and our call to discipleship in our Lord Jesus Christ and our call to separation from every religious camp that sets itself up in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do they have to set themselves up in opposition to the Lord Jesus? Simply not obeying the doctrine of Christ. Yeah. Not obeying the gospel. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Without the camp of organized religion. Religion of man's religion. Whether it be in superstitious foolishness, as Roman Catholics, whether it be in any kind of paganism, free willism, whatever it is, anything that denies Jesus Christ, his sufferings and death for the absolute perfection of his people, and that the work is done and done perfectly and done forever. Anything that opposes those is another camp. And we are to withdraw from those. Well, you know in yourself that that's not hard to do. Their doctrine is repulsive to you. And the things that you love and cherish and believe are repulsive to them. They cannot bear to hear them. They will not bear to hear them. And you won't be able to have any religious fellowship with them, and that is our call to separation. We are separate from them. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So we're very thankful. Look at John chapter 17. Says here, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. He dedicated himself to be a sin offering for the church of God. He sanctified himself. He set himself apart unto his death, unto his sufferings, unto all that he did for us. Verse 17. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We're washed by the water of the word. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. Look at Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews 10:10. And let's begin reading in verse 9. Then he said in Psalm 40, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first testament, the first priesthood, that he might establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. Now those priests, they offered time after time after time. They were never done offering. But this man, he made one offering for sin forever. Forever high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Them that are elected, sanctified by God the Father in eternity past through the decree of election, his electing mercy. God hath chosen us. He didn't choose our neighbors. He chose us. And we ought to be thankful, and I know we ought to.